chapter number 5. Genesis chapter number 5. And I do appreciate the prayer of the church during my wife's illness. And we had no idea that she was as sick as she was, and put her in the hospital. In fact, she passed out. And my son and I were away, and my daughter was with my wife, and she passed out. So my daughter called the EMS, and when my wife came to, they had her on a stretcher. And so she couldn't protest. And my daughter called me, and they put her in critical care. And my son and I got to the hospital just as quickly as we could. And the doctor walked in on Monday and said, "You could have died this weekend." And both of her lungs were completely filled up. She had double pneumonia, and she's just drowning in her own fluid. And so I don't send out many messages, you know. Sometimes you get around people, and they're always in a crisis. And I've only had to ask for help one time in the 20 years I've had the Bright Spot Hour, and I've only had to send out one note that we had a sickness, a crisis. But my wife was really in a crisis, and the Lord brought her through it. Praise God. Amen. So this July, we start 30 years of marriage. And if the rapture doesn't take place, I hope I can have 30 more. That would be good for all of us. Both of my grandparents were married over 60 years on my dad's side of the family and my mother's side of the family. And there are some fringe benefits if I could stay married to my wife for 60 years that are mine. I'm selfish. Number one, I'd get to live with a pretty woman for 60 years. And number two, if I can stay married to her for 60 years, that means that I can live to be 81. And I'm interested in that. And my wife was 19, so that means that she would live to be 79. And I'm in favor of that. We can see a lot. That means that we still have as much of our marriage ahead of us as we have behind us. But those things are in the hands of the Lord. I apologize for being late this morning. This is the first time I have ever been here that it wasn't raining on Sunday. And it's the first time I've ever been here I was late. And the reason I was late is because I left late. And so that's, you know, it's pretty heavy. But anyway, I rejoice in the privilege to be here. In chapter number 5, Genesis 5, we have 10 patriarchs that are named. And I'd like to try to deal with the names of these 10 patriarchs as God shall help me in the hour this morning. And I think in the names of these patriarchs, we see the program of God in man's redemption unfold before our eyes. I want you to mark these in your Bible if you don't have them marked. In verse number 1, this is the book of the generations of Adam. I want you to underline Adam and out in the margin put number 1. This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him, male and female created he them and blessed them, and called their name Adam in the day when they were created. Now in verse number 3, and Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness after his image and called his name Seth. Underline that, put number 2 in the margin of your Bible. And called his name Seth. And the days of Adam after he had begotten Seth were 800 years, and he begat sons and daughters. And all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. I'm back in Genesis. I finished reading Revelation Tuesday of last week, and I started back in Genesis on Wednesday. And this is something I had not noticed until this trip through the Bible, that in the patriarchs we have in chapter 5, they lived 900 and 800 and 700 years. But when we get to Genesis chapter number 10, the list of men that are named there lived to be 125 and 150 years. Noah's offspring after the flood, and what we are dealing with here are men before the flood. Peter called this the world that then was, the antediluvian age, the world that then was. And after the flood, there is a great reduction in the lifespan of man from 900 or 800. These men were producing offspring at 800 years old. Their wives were having children. And by the time you arrive in the 10th chapter, you're talking about men dying at 125 years old. That sure is short when it's compared to Adam's life. All right, let's continue reading. Look at verse 6. And Seth lived in 105 years and begat Enos. Underline that and put number 3. Enos. Enos was born when Seth was 105 years old. How would you ladies like to be given birth at 100 years old? Of course, a 100-year-old woman at this particular time would be like a 30-year-old woman. They just were not affected by age. Then down in verse number 9. And Enos lived 90 years and begat Canaan. Canaan, that's number 4. Begat Canaan, number 4. Then over in verse 12. And Canaan lived 70 years and begat Mahalil. Mahalil, that's number 5. Mahalil. And then in verse number 15. And Mahalil lived 65 years and begat Jared. That would be number 6. It's also the number of man. Number 5, the number of grace. Number 5 is also the number of death in the Bible. Number 6, Jared. In verse number 15. And then down in verse number 18. And Jared lived 162 years. And he begat Enoch. Enoch. That's number 7. It's the number of perfection. And Jared lived after he begat Enoch 800 years. And begat sons and daughters. During that 800 year lifespan, he begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. Now look at verse 21. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And that's number 8. The number 8 in Bible numerology is the number of new beginnings. Begat Methuselah. Now, Methuselah had a promise, and the flood would not come so long as Methuselah was alive. Now, watch what it says about Enoch. And Enoch, verse 22, walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years. How would you like to have a 300-year ministry, Brother Greer? Wouldn't that be marvelous? He walked with God 300 years after he begat Methuselah and begat sons and daughters. Now look at verse 23. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. That's very important about Enoch. All right, now look at verse 25. And Methuselah lived 187 years and begat Lamech. That's number 9, Lamech. Number 9, and Methuselah lived after he begat Lamech 782 years and begat sons and daughters, and all the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died. And Lamech lived 182 years and begat a son, and he called his name Noah. Underline that. That's number 10. And the number 10 in Bible numerology is the number of completion. He begat Noah, saying, this same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands because of the ground which the Lord hath cursed. And Lamech lived after he begat Noah 595 years, and he begat sons and daughters, and all the days of Lamech were 770. And 7 years he lived, 777, and he died. And Noah was 500 years old, and Noah begat Shem, which is the youngest, Ham, and Japheth, which is the oldest. Now there's a reason why they're listed from the youngest to the oldest rather than the oldest to the youngest. But to be entirely honest with you, I'm not prepared to explain that to you this morning. But if I ever get any light on that, I'll preach you a sermon on that. Now, what about these 10 patriarchs? My grandfather pointed this out to me 30 years ago. So I'm going to preach one of my granddad's sermons that I heard him bring, and he explained this to me, and it's worthwhile. We find in these 10 names of these 10 men the plan of God in redemption from the fall of Adam all the way to the end of the age represented in Noah. And you and I are looking forward to a better day and a better world, a world that doesn't have a curse, and that new heaven and new earth coming down from God out of heaven. Now let's begin pointing these out. Verse number one, this is the book of the generations. And in the Greek language, the word generation is the word genosis. We get our word generate from that. This is the book of the generations. We find that same language in Matthew chapter number 1, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ. All of us have been generated. Our life has been generated from our mothers and our fathers. I may preach this week in the Gospel of John some. And we have that great phrase in the Gospel of John chapter number 1, in him was life, in Christ was life. The life that was in Christ was independent. It was life. But our life is not independent. Our life has been generated from somewhere else. I am alive because my dad, Larry Carper, knew my mother, Elizabeth Carper, and their seeds were joined together, and I was conceived. And had not I been conceived in my mother's womb, I would not have been generated. But my mother and dad generated me. They produced me. And I rise up and call my dad, who's in heaven now, blessed. And my mother, who is alive, I call her blessed because I received my life from them. By the way, I've never called my dad while he was alive the old man. And I never called my mother old lady. I said sir to my dad to the day he died. And ma'am to my mother, who is alive. We're only 19 years apart. My mother's only 19 years younger than I am. But I say ma'am to her because she produced my life. And I wouldn't be here if it weren't for my mother and dad. Generated. You and I have been generated. Our life has come from somewhere else. Now, notice what it says. This is the book of the generations of Adam. And we see that he begat, he begat, he begat. He begat, he begat all of that generation producing their offspring. The book of the generations of Adam. And Adam is our first man. Now the Hebrew word for Adam is Adamah. Adamah. And it simply means the earth or man of the earth. My grandfather called Adam, write this now, in the margin of your Bible. Number one, my grandfather said it meant red man. Man of the earth, man of the soil. Now this is a marvelous thing to think about. Adam was formed of the dust of the ground. This is the book of the generation of Adam. And all of us have our origin of the earth. We are from this earth, and when we die, our children and grandchildren will put us back in the earth. The book of the generation of Adam, the red man, the man of the soil, in the day that God created him. And that is not theistic evolution. That is the direct creative work of Almighty God. I am not the product of the animal kingdom. Now, this is an interesting thing. If you'll read the book of Genesis, it's a marvelous thing. By the way, this is something else I hadn't noticed until this week in my Bible reading. I've read the Bible through over 50 times. But I marvel every time I read back through it. I see things I've never seen before. When after the flood and the waters, as the King James says, began to assuage. Isn't that beautiful? The waters assuaged. The Bible said that God caused an east wind to blow, to dry the ground, to dry the land. And if you ever paid attention, we have two or three days of rain like we've had this week, and the next clear day will be a windy day. And God blows that wind to dry the land from the rain that is falling. God started doing that when Noah got off the ark, and he's still doing it. It's a marvelous thing. That may be a very small matter in the scheme of things, but it's one more reason that I believe the Bible to be the Word of God. Now, notice what it says. In the day that God created man in the likeness of God, made he him. Man is the direct creative product of God's hand, created in the image of God. God is a Trinity. You and I are Trinities. Now, this is an interesting thing. As you read the book of Genesis, you discover that God created the animal kingdom out, O-U-T, out of the ground. And God created the vegetable kingdom, vegetable life, out, O-U-T, out of the ground. But the Bible says when God made Adam, he didn't make him out of the ground, he made him of the dust of the ground. The human family and the animal kingdom are separated by a chasm that'll never be spanned. You take the highest form of primate life, a gorilla, chimpanzee, some of those primates are pretty intelligent. You take the highest form of primate life and the lowest form of human life. What is it? I think some of the lowest form of human life I have seen are rappers, because they grunt like an animal. Ooh, ah, ee, ah, ooh, ah. I don't understand that at all. Now, I just don't understand that at all. They, you know, act like they got something wrong with them. I think they do. You take the lowest form of human life and the highest form of primate life, and they are still separated by a chasm that cannot be spanned. They are still animals. And even the lowest form of human life is still human life. And the reason for that is the animal kingdom came out, O-U-T, of the ground, while God created Adam of, not out of the dust of the ground. Now in the next verse he says that he created male and female. And female there would be Mrs. Adam, called Eve. Now one of the reasons why the Apostle Paul, and by the way, the Bible has great regard and respect for womanhood. I wonder where the women's liberation movement and all the feminists are about this rise of Islam, even in the United States of America. I mean, Islam is cool, forgive the vernacular, right now. If you're a Muslim, man, you're on the short list. That's cutting edge. And yet in the Muslim world, women are held on the same level as the animal, as sheep and goats and cattle. A man owns his herds just like he owns his wives. I don't own my wife. My wife is bone of my bone. She's a joint heir with me in the grace of life. That sounds to me like equality. Now I'm the head of my home, but my wife guides my home. Isn't that what Paul the Apostle told the women to do? Love the husbands, rear their bear children, be discreet, chaste, guide the home. Your home is what it is because of your wife. And a lot of us men are the benefactors of that. If I'd have married some other woman, I would not have the home life I have, because every home is influenced by the wife. The wife carries a lot of authority in the New Testament. Now, one of the reasons why the New Testament has such high regard for womanhood, Paul called her the weaker vessel. Not an inferior person. The weaker vessel. In every house there are vessels, Paul said, some to honor, some to dishonor. In our house we have our dishes that we eat off of regularly, and then we have the china, and we only get it out for special occasions. And those dishes, you hold them up, you can't see through them. But you get a good piece of china and you hold it up to the light and you can read the watermark, the stamp on the underside, you can see it in a good piece of china. It's almost translucent. That is the weaker vessel. That china will break. That's why we don't eat off of it all the time. We eat off the dishes. You can run them in and out of the dishwasher and drop them and they get chipped up and battle scarred, but you keep the china put away. And Paul the Apostle refers to womanhood as the weaker vessel or as a piece of fine china. Now there's a reason for that. There's a reason why gentlemen that have been influenced by the Bible hold the door for the ladies and have manners toward the ladies. Because in creation, now hear me, the woman is once removed from the earth by being created from the man rather than from the earth. Adam was created of the dust. He's in direct contact with the earth. Now he's higher than the animal kingdom because the animal kingdom is created out of the ground. So the human family is above the animal kingdom. I don't care what PETA and the environmentalists say. Animals don't have rights except to be put in a pressure pot and eaten. Now I don't hunt. I don't care anything about it. I'm not against it. I just don't, that's just not me. I don't golf. I don't play tennis. Now, if you're going to tear a carburetor apart, I'll be there to look at that. I like things like that. But my son doesn't. He's not interested in that, and I am. I'm thrilled if I have grease under my fingernails. My son rather be in a tree stand. My son has killed over 70 wild hogs since January. Whatever's in season is what he hunts. And they've been hunting wild hogs, and they don't shoot them with a gun. They stick them. I said, you crazy. Let the dogs hem them up, and then they send a pit bull over in there, and he gets the hog and holds on to him. And then them boys, and my son's only 22, so he's living on adrenaline and testosterone. He don't have any sense right now. He's not old enough to have any sense. And them boys are just crawling across all them dogs and stick that hog and kill him. I said, well, what are you going to do when you go bear hunting? Take a 2x4 with you? You're crazy. He said, well, we can't shoot them. We might hit one of the dogs. I think those fellows love their dogs more than they love their mama. Adam created of the dust, the animal kingdom out of the ground. But the woman is removed from the earth by being created from the man. Isn't that marvelous? Isn't that marvelous? That's why good Christian Southern gentlemen and Christian men love for their wives to be ladies. I don't want my wife to be like all this riffraff I see on the television. I want my wife to be my wife and to be a lady and to be mine, you see. I'm going to read on. Male and female created he them. This same-sex marriage fiasco that is being shoved down our throat, it's not possible that two men can be married or two women. They may have a piece of paper, but they can't be married. Amen now. There can't be any matrimony there, and that's where the word marriage comes from. Matrimony, which is from maternity. Two men can't have any maternity. Male and female created he them and blessed them. Now, you ladies ever wonder why you take your husband's name? They wondered about that. When Adam saw Eve, he had never seen a woman before. When he saw Eve, he said, she shall be called woman, for she is from the man. I would imagine the first time Adam saw his wife, he probably said, whoa, man. Then he called her by her name, Eve. Then he had a pet name, and every husband has a pet name for his wife. My grandfather used to call my grandmother, I mean when they were 80, he called her Shug. All of my life, I remember my grandfather calling my grandmother Shug. Isn't that wonderful? Adam had a pet name for Eve. He called her the mother of all living. Now, that's three things that Adam called his wife. But what did God call him? Well, ladies, watch this now. This is why you take your husband's name. Male and female created he them and blessed them and called their name Adam. Let me introduce you to Mr. and Mrs. Adam. In the day when they were created. And Adam lived 130 years. Now, Adam means red man. I've got to hasten. And Adam, red man, man of the earth, verse number 3. And Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness. Now, Cain and Abel have been born. I think Cain and Abel were twins. It says that Eve conceived, that's one conception, and she bare Cain. The next verse says, and she bare again. One conception, two births, that'd be twins. And the first brothers we find in the Bible, one murders the other. Isn't that different from two other brothers we find in the Gospel of John? When Philip goes to find his brother Andrew, and rather than killing him in the field, he says, we found the Messiah. We have found the Lord. Let me take you to the Lord. We found him. How different those two brothers in John is to the two brothers in Genesis. Cain and Abel. Abel has already been murdered by his brother Cain in a religious argument. And after the death of Abel, Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness. Now, Adam was created in the image of God or in the likeness of God, but Seth was conceived and born in the image of Adam. And that's our problem. Our problem is that we are more Adam-like and less Christ-like. We all have an Adamic nature on the inside of us, and we war with that Adamic nature. In a glorified body, I won't have an Adamic nature. Praise God. I'll never be tempted to sin. Hallelujah. It'll be worth going to heaven just to not have to confront sin. Man, that'll make it heaven. Adam bare a son in his own likeness and called his name Seth. And the name here means, write it down, a substitute. A substitute. Abel has now been put to death. We need a substitute to take Abel's place. And Eve conceived, and Adam bare a son in his own likeness and produced a substitute, and he named him Seth. But oh, I see the hand of God in this now. Adam, the first man, but Adam fell. Adam sinned in the Garden of Eden. Death passed upon all men for that all have sinned. You and I are sinners not because we've robbed a bank or gotten drunk, but we're sinners because Adam's sin has passed upon us. We inherited the sin of our father. And all the way through the Bible, God has demanded a substitute for sin. Seth is that substitute. Sin in Cain caused the death of Abel. A substitute is needed. As in Adam, all die. And all we have is death without a substitute. But in Christ, we have a substitute. A substitute needed. Somebody to stand in our stead, to bear our sin and our iniquity. Verse number 4. And in the days of Adam, after he had begotten Seth, were 800 years, and he begat sons and daughters. And the days of Adam, that Adam lived, were 930 years, and he died. And Seth lived 105 years and begat Enos. Enos' name, write this down, means to die. To die. Dying. Do you see that? Adam sinned, and death passed upon all men in Adam. I cannot stand before God in my own self. I have no righteousness. My righteousness is as filthy rags. I must have a substitute. Seth, a substitute. But the Bible declares the wages of sin is death. How much does sin cost? It will cost you your life. The wages of sin is death. The only way sin can be paid for is in death. When Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, two innocent animals had to die. Through the Old Testament scriptures, hundreds and hundreds of thousands of animal sacrifices died. And all of those sacrifices, they could only provide atonement. They could not provide forgiveness. And all of those animal sacrifices culminated in the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Jesus Christ as a lamb went unto Calvary. Isaiah 53, as a sheep to the shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. And he went to Calvary, and there the substitute died. Seth, a substitute, to die, Canaan, or Enos. Now, read on. Verse number 8, and all the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died. And Enos lived 90 years and begat Canaan. Now, this is spelled different than the Canaanites. Canaan with an I. And the name Canaan means to purchase, to buy. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, he died there to buy us back. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, we read those great verses. For ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. It was at Calvary that the wages of sin, the sin debt, was paid. The price was paid in the death of Jesus Christ, so that lost sinners like you and me could be purchased back. We could be bought back. And now we sing that song in our hymn book, Now I Belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me. We have been bought to purchase. We have been bought with a price. Isn't that marvelous? All right, let's read on now. And Enos lived, after he begat Canaan, 815 years. And begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enos were 905 years. And he died. And Canaan lived. Now this is number 5. The number 5 in Bible numerology has a twofold meaning. It means grace. There's no doubt about that. But number 5 also means death. You look at the times that number 5 in Bible numerology is contextually attached to death. And I think both of those definitions are involved here in Mahalalel, who is number 5. And Canaan lived 70 years and begat Mahalalel. And the name Mahalalel means to rise. To rise. Isn't that marvelous? Adam, for all have sinned. In Adam, the wages of sin is death. Death passed upon all men in Adam. And because of sin, we must have a substitute. We have that in Seth, but that substitute must die. The wages of sin is death. That's what it cost. It cost death. And in Enos, we have a dying one to die. And that substitute died at Calvary to buy us back, to pay our sin debt, to purchase the purchased possession. And that's precisely what we have in Canaan. But I would remind you, if Christ doesn't rise from the dead, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, we are of all men most miserable. If Christ be not raised from the dead, our faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. The Bible says that Christ died. Now hear me. Christ died for our sins. But the Apostle Paul said he was raised for our justification. What good is a sin debt paid if I can't be justified by that? That's why faith in the resurrection of Jesus Christ is a divine imperative to the new birth. A man that denies the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ cannot. He cannot be born again. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. If Christ stays in the grave, he's no better than that long list of millions of animal sacrifices. But all those sacrifices died to never get up. But Jesus Christ said, I am he that was alive and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. He'll never die again. The debt has been paid. And Jesus Christ is now alive and seated at the Father's right hand. And he is there making intercession for us now as our advocate and our great high priest. To rise. I see the resurrection of Christ in Mahalil. Can you see this? Do you see this developing? And look with me, please, in verse number 13. Canaan lived after he begat Mahalil 840 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Canaan were 910 years, and he died. That's a recurring theme in this chapter, isn't it? And he died. And Mahalalel, verse 15, lived 65 years and begat Jared. That's number 6. Now that's the number of man. Jared. What does Jared's name mean? His name means to pour out. After Jesus rose from the dead, he accompanied with his disciples for 40 days and led them out to Bethany, which is Mount Olivet. Bethany is about 1,500 feet on the other side of Olivet. The scripture is correct when it says that he led them out to ascended from Olivet, and that is correct when it says in the Gospel of Luke that he led them out to Bethany. I say, I'm going to Vilas. People say, where is that? I say, Boone. Oh, well, I didn't tell them a lie. One place is virtually the other. Next week, I'll be at Brown's Summit, North Carolina. Y'all know where that is? It's in Greensboro. I mean, you walk from one side of the road to the other, that's Greensboro and that's Brown's Summit. Why they don't call it all Greensboro, I don't know, but that's where I'll be next week. People don't know where Brown's Summit is, but they know where Greensboro is. The Lord led him out 40 days. He's been teaching them the things concerning the kingdom of God. And now it's time to ascend back to heaven. He's already been to heaven 40 days earlier at his resurrection with his blood and the Old Testament saints. Now he's about to ascend to begin his high priestly work. But he looks at his disciples. Now they're from Galilee, 30 miles to the north. Their wives and children are all up around the Sea of Galilee. They're down here in Jerusalem. And he says, don't go back to Galilee, but you stay in Jerusalem until the day of Pentecost is fully come. When the day of Pentecost is fully come, after that you can go back to Galilee. And they went into the upper room, and it was there that Peter quotes from the psalmist David in Psalm 41, and Matthias is chosen to take the place of Judas Iscariot. And the Bible says, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, there appeared unto them cloven tongues, and the Spirit of God was poured out upon them. And that began a new era that the human family had never understood, called the Age of the Spirit. The Lord Jesus had prophesied this in the 14th and the 16th chapter of John. He said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. And then he said in the 16th chapter of John that when he has come, he will, the Spirit of God, he will reprove the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come. And that's the ministry of the Holy Spirit in this world in regard to the world. You know why people won't come to church? They're afraid they'll show up down here and run into the Holy Spirit. They won't get slain in the Spirit and fall out and talk in gibberish. No, no. They'll run into the Holy Spirit and he will reprove them of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come. And that's why they won't come hear the Bible preached. Jared, to pour out. That's where we are now. We are in the age of the Spirit. It's also called the dispensation of the church. Now, look with me please down at verse number 16. We get to Enoch. And Mahalalel lived after he begat Jared 830 years and begat sons and daughters. You realize if he had a child every 10 years, he'd have had 83 more children? How'd y'all like to have 83 children? How'd you like to feed 83 children? And all the days of Mahalalel were 895 years, and he died. And Jared lived in 162 years, and he begat Enoch. Enoch is number 7. Now, what about Enoch? Well, let's skip down to verse 22. And Enoch walked with God. That's what you and I are trying to do. We're trying to live the Christian life. I'm not living the Christian life to be saved. I'm trying to walk with the Lord because I am saved. We're trying to walk with God. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not. For God took him. Beside Enoch's name, I want you to write down translated. That's number 7. That is the number of perfection. And it comes after Jared, who means to pour out. The church has been moving along through the age of the Spirit about 2,000 years or a little better than 2,000 years. And our forebears and our mothers and our grandfathers and our great-grandparents all the way back to the Apostle Paul have been looking to be translated. And it hasn't happened yet. But as sure as what I read in a King James Bible is true, it's going to happen one day. I was talking to a man last night. In fact, two different men last night. Had opportunity to talk and witness to both of them at length. And one man was inquiring, he said, you're a preacher, aren't you? I said, yes, sir. He said, do you pastor? I said, no, I'm an evangelist. I said, I'll be in Boone tomorrow preaching. And we talked all, and I told him about Noah's Ark up on Ararat. We were talking about the rain and how the wind had started to blow when the rain moved out and the wind started to blow to dry the land out. I said, you know, God started that back in Genesis. I said, if the Bible's not true, how did that boat get up there on Ararat? That boat's 7,000 feet above sea level. This out here is about 3,000, maybe 2,800. That's 7,000 feet. How'd that boat get up there? If there was no Noahic flood, just trying to show him the Bible's true. The book is true. Another man last night was talking about his mother dying. She was a born-again believer, but he's in a contemporary church. And those contemporary churches are an inch deep and a mile wide. And he was asking me questions about the resurrection that our Sunday school children could answer. And I said, next week if I live, I'll bring you some of my booklets, my granddad's material about the resurrection. You can read it and you can find out exactly what happened to your mother when she died and when she's going to be raised from the dead at the rapture. And I said, I'll bring that to you, let you read it. He said, I appreciate that. I said, I'll give it to you. I'll bring it, give it to you. Didn't know anything. His preacher doesn't preach the Bible. They preach to make the people feel good rather than preaching right out of the Bible. Now, I know the rapture hasn't taken place yet, but one of these days there's going to be a generation, and I hope it's our generation. We'll be here one moment, and the trumpet will sound, and we'll be gone. I mean, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we'll be translated. Somebody says, that frightens me. You won't have time to be frightened. You'll be occupied doing whatever it is you do one moment, and the next moment you'll be standing right in the presence of the blessed Lord, and your mom will be there and your dad will be there and your loved ones. Some of you ladies haven't talked to your mother in 30 years, but she died in the faith. She'll be there. You'll be able to look right over at your mama and get caught up. And some of you fellas hadn't talked to your daddy in 30 years. You'd write a check for $1,000 if I told you you could talk to your dad for half an hour. It cost you $1,000. You'd write that check in a minute. I would. Amen. If I knew I could talk to my dad for half an hour, I'd write a check for $1,000. See, I'll get out of the way now. I'm going to talk to my dad. Don't bother me. I want to talk to my dad. I got a lot to talk to him about in 30 minutes. One thing I'd ask him is, tell me the best you can about that city where you've been. Amen. Fill me in on that. He'd tell me the same thing Paul said. Not lawful for me to even tell you about it. The vocabulary down here won't describe it. My wife and I have two children over. I'd say, well, Dad, tell me about my children that I've never met. Tell me about them. You've been up there with them for 8 years. Talk to me about them for a minute. I really do want to see them. He'd tell me about them. And that'd be a marvelous thing. This is going to happen. Amen. We're going to be translated. It may be sooner than we think. I've been watching what's going on in Israel. By the way, Benjamin Netanyahu's in a tight election. There's been a lot of American interference in that. We need to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Let me hasten. Oh, my. It's 3 minutes until 12. Let me get these last two and I'll be done. I'll be done. Jared means to pour out. Enoch translated. Now look down with me at verse 21. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. Now what does Methuselah's name mean? When he is gone, it shall come. The flood could not happen as long as Methuselah lived. The flood couldn't happen. But when Methuselah died, his name, he was given as a sign. His name means, when he is gone, it shall come. As long as the church is here, the tribulation can't begin. But when the church is taken out, I'm talking about the true church, the body of Christ, when the church is raptured out, the tribulation will begin. When he is gone, it shall come. Now look at verse 25. And Methuselah lived 187 years and begat Lamech. Lamech. And the name Lamech means to conquer. To conquer. Lamech. What will happen at the end of the tribulation period? There will be a conqueror that will come. And you and I will come back with him, Revelation chapter number 19. And he'll ride a white battle stallion. And his vesture will be dipped in blood. And he'll have a sharp two-edged sword proceeding out of his mouth. And his eyes will be like a flame of fire. And his hair white as wool. And his name will be the Word of God. And he'll defeat the armies of Antichrist, the Valley of Megiddo, in the Battle of Armageddon. And he will sit on the throne of his father David for 1,000 years. And he will be hailed as King, capital K, of kings, little k, and Lord, capital L, of lords, little l. Amen. And we're going to be there to see it. See, we're part of Christ. Everywhere he goes, we go. We'll never be separated from him. And our right to the millennium is Jesus Christ. And then the 10th name. And all the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died, verse 28. And Lamech lived 182 years and begat a son. And he called his name Noah. Noah is number 10. Number 10 is the number of completion. What does Noah's name mean? His name means rest. Rest. What's going to happen out yonder on the other side of the millennium? During the millennial reign, the Lord will rule with a rod of iron. He will put down rebellion. Everybody in the millennium won't be saved. There'll be children born in the millennium. They will need to be born again, but not all of them will be. That's why Satan's loosed at the end of the millennium to gather together the brands for the burning. But after the millennium, this old earth will be burned up, 2 Peter 3, reduced to gases. The heavens will be folded up like a garment and dissolve. That'll happen during the white throne judgment, because the Bible says, and there was found no place for them. There'll be a new heaven, a new earth, and a new Jerusalem created. And there won't be any sin in that new earth. And you and I and the redeemed of all the ages, there won't be any lost people there. Just be people who have been saved. And the Lord will be the light of the city. God will be the light of the city. Won't be any sea, won't be any sun. The Lord will light the city. And forever and forever and forever, we will be with the Lord. Rest. Rest. How blessed that is. There's no way man could have put that in a book. This has to be, what I'm reading has to be divine scripture. It has to be. And I believe it to be so. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, you can be saved today. Today. I would trust Jesus Christ as my Savior. If you're here and you're saved, but God has spoken to your heart, your life is not dedicated as it ought to be, maybe your relationship with the Word is not what it ought to be, we're going to have an invitation, and you're invited to come. If you need to come pray, I invite you to come. Let's stand together.